Duchem Abayim Hashem Hashem Berach Duchem Vez Hashem. Welcome to our weekly Wednesday Shir, recorded again on a Tuesday. In the Nishmas Ruzin Batrachan Ve'ezra. Baruch Shechiyanu. Bad L'chaim Tev Meruchim Hashalom. We'd like to extend to my daughter Nuchamadina and her husband Nachamendel Bartush a Mazel Tov on their birth of their little yingle this past Shabbos. Shri Zecher, the God of the Tate of the Hupla, the Maestro Tev, the Chnissi Vitz, the Avram, the Nabi Tev, is Mari. This Shabbos, Pashat Kedoshim, Kedoshim Tiyu. We should be holy. Also, as we have the custom to do so, we'll be talking about Pirkei Avos, the Shabbos Perek Sheni, and we'll talk a little bit about Masechtas Seita. We find ourselves in the days of Sfiras HaOmer. The 15th day of Sfiras HaOmer, which will be tonight, I'm way before Maariv time, I'm allowed to say that now. The number 15 has a major significance. The number 15 is Yud K, which is the first two letters of Shem Yavayah. Nothing is coincidental. Today's Rambam also starts Perek Tezvov, Hilchos Shabbos, also the number 15, and discusses in Hilchos Shabbos the idea of Shus HaRabim and Shus HaYochid, when going from a public domain to a private domain. How does the public domain and the private domain connect with the lifestyle of a Yid? The three parakim that we learn is Tezvov, Tezayin, Yudzayin, Yudzayin being the third Perek, Yudzayin is 17 Gematria Tev, and therefore, the limud of which we learn from this, since the Rambam only brings down Halachas Sheba Halachas, is a limud that you have to apply halachically to our daily life. Of the going from a Rishus HaRabim to a Rishus HaYochid, the person, the neshama in a guf, in his soul in a body, finds itself enclosed in the body, which is a different domain which it wants to be in. The domain in which the neshama would like to find itself is a Rishus HaYochid. The Yochid being together with the Yichud HaShalelam, in the private domain together with the one and only, the creator of the world. But yet, the mission statement of which a person is given, as we spoke last week, about Achrei Meis, the sin, the grave sin that the sons of Aaron committed, was the fact that they detached themselves from the Eibishter and decided to be one on their own, and they wanted to be one, they detached themselves from being human beings and wanted to be one connected with the Almighty, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is not the mission statement of the human being in this world. The person needs to stay on this world and do and accomplish and build and make this world a dwelling place for the Eibishter. Chochmas Nashim Bansa Besa. Every so often you have to quote a story that you hear from a woman. And my wife came and told me a story that she heard from a woman, teaching us how to nurture, how to keep, and how to control. A woman was pregnant with triplets. However, the doctors felt that it was not beneficial for all three of them to be together. And therefore they recommended I would have the mazel in the middle of my shiur, the ice cream truck stopping in front of my house.
You want ice cream?
It's gone, he's gone. It's gone. So the doctors advised that she's better off only having twins, and that she, Chas v'Shalom, should abort one of them. Rahman al-Islam. Just to clarify, in Jewish circles, it's not frowned upon an abortion. It's criminal. There's no such animal of abortion. If there are some that will find a loophole for a pregnancy that's literally maybe a week or two, she just barely found a positive result on a test or something to that effect, or if Rahman al-Islam, the woman went through a traumatic experience and became pregnant, or a girl became pregnant, they dig very, very, very deep, and most Rabbanim do not permit it. We may not kill. Thou shalt not kill. Bottom line. And Chas v'Shalom, Rahman al-Islam, doing an abortion, one is doing just that. They're killing the child. Therefore, the person was very, very torn. They didn't know what to do. She had the triplets inside her, and the doctor was recommending one of them, Chas v'Shalom, be aborted. And she told it to somebody, and the person said, let me arrange a little meeting for you. And she arranged the next day, whatever it was, she took her to a neighborhood, a Jewish neighborhood. She arranged with this family beforehand, obviously. And the man and the woman were there with their quadruplets, with their four boys. And they introduced the four of them to this lady. Whole, hearty, and healthy boys. Saying there's no reason. What better way is it to show somebody than real life? A live, living example of quadruplets standing there. And so she told the doctor she refuses. They were geholfen, and they came to the term of what they allow a woman to carry, triplets, and the three babies were born. Two of them were quite healthy, and one of them was a little bit unterstellig, shall we say, a little bit behind on everything. Took more care, it took more, it was a little more lackadaisical. So, but it was a healthy child. Full, healthy child. So they asked the doctor, what gives? Can you explain this medically? Why this third child is not like the other two? Listen to this hafletic explanation that the doctor gave, which also teaches us the importance of a child and the importance of never chas v'shalom ever having an abortion, but that one should see to it that a child is born into this world, and born into the world for a reason, and one does not have a right to take them out, no matter who you are, no matter what you do, no matter what happened to you. The doctor explained. The babies were in the womb. one on top of the other. 1, 2, 3. Baby on top was getting food from what was the mother was eating and giving it to the middle one. Baby on bottom was getting the blood flow and was feeding it to the middle one. But one on top had to work on taking the food and distributing. The one on bottom had to take the blood and distribute. The one in the middle had to do nothing. He didn't have to do anything. Because it was getting everything automatically. So now when they're born, those two know that they have to work and they have to be lively and they have to find and they have to get themselves moving. Number three was not brought up that way, shall we say. Did not come into the world that way. And therefore, he's laid back, he's lackadaisical. The doctor explained this medically. Medically. Telling us, teaching us, the power of Teda, Tvila, Mitzvah Maisis. When one toils with all the above, with their Torah learning, and with their davening, and the way they do their mitzvahs, and they don't just do a mitzvah. Oh, you need tzedakah, here's a dollar. You need tzedakah, here's $5. For me, $100 is nothing, $100. They don't just daven three times a day because the sin is in front of them. You daven to gang weiter. Everything is done with a full heart, leva nefesh. I am attaching myself. And the tzveisav is lashon tzavsav v'chibur attaching. The music I get on my block today. I do it full heartedly and full devotion, with full dedication, with the full keches that I have. Because this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to make a dira b'tachteinim. Wants me to make a dwelling place for Him on this world. And thereby the Pasha starts as well. Kedoshim tihiyu ki kadosh ani. One should be holy because I am holy. It's a little stretch of a request. Are we God? All of a sudden, can we be holy like God is holy? But the fact is, we have a neshama which is a chelek of the kamim al mamish, part of a God. And just like this neshama was put down into this world by God, it gets taken only by God, and a person can never, chas v'shalom, take another life. Whether it's an abortion of a child, of an infant, or whether it's an adult. So everything that the Torah tells us and commands us has a different way and a different effect and approach. And one needs to apply this. One needs to apply it to their daily life and to their daily mission and to the way they do things. So therefore, we look at this parsha, and the parsha starts off one command, Kedoshim to you. You should be holy. The next commandment after that is Ish imay v'aviv tiro. A person should fear their parents, their mother and the father. And then a third commandment, Eshabsoy saitishmeiru. My Shabbos you should heed. The Kedoshim to you requires of us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we should be separated from all the other nations. Kodesh umuvdol. Mentally making a lot of noise. Kodesh umuvdol. One should be totally separated from all the rest of the world, all the rest of the elements of the world. And it says at the end of the parasha, V'yisem kideshim, and that you should be holy, how? V'avdil eschem min ha'amim, and I separated you from all the other nations. With what do we have to separate ourselves from the other nations? If you want to say the intention is to this fact, to the extent of that we need to live according to Torah mitzvahs, we're not separating ourselves. We're not differentiating our ways from their ways. But to apply ourselves to Torah mitzvahs, that's not our goal. Because they're not even connected to Torah. And therefore, it's not that they're not doing Torah, not learning Torah, doing mitzvahs because they don't want to. It's because they have no connection to it. So therefore, if you want to say separate yourselves from the goyim, it has to be something that is a common denominator. A common denominator that's pachosha. Somehow and somewhere. And this is something, these mitzvahs of the Torah, kideshim to you, that we need to be muvdolim from the nations of the world. The lesson of Torah, given in things that we are permitted to do, eating, drinking, business, all this needs to be done within the boundaries and realm of Torah. That one should know the difference between the way a Jew does it and a non-Jew. Everybody eats. Everybody drinks. You need it for your body. Everybody needs to work. And all the other worldly things that one does. But still and all, we are commanded by the Torah, Kedeshim to you. We need to see to it that we serve the Kedusha also in these things. To show the world that our daily mundane life, the involvement, the life of each and every Jew needs to be done through the Shem Shemayim. We're doing it because I have to serve God. And I'm sanctifying it. This is Kaddish Atzchub Mutlach. Even with things that are permissible to you, you should have to make yourself holy for it. So on the question, how is it possible? Kaddishim in all the other worldly mundane things, answer the Torah, Kikadosh Ani Hashem. Because I, the Eibishter, am holy. A Jew, wherever he may be, is connected with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore says, Ata Kadosh. You are saying you are holy. From this Kedusha, the Jew nurtures and takes on the strength to see to it that the godly light shines and connects and fulfills and permeates the world. When one is eating, one is drinking, one is sleeping, one is doing business, whatever you're doing. And therefore we find that the next commandment is Ish, Imei, Ve'aviv, Tira'u. A person should fear their mother and their father. The sanctification of a Jew that circumvents his entire life, the entire way of his living, has to be done for the next generation as well. And one may not suffice it to say, I'm doing the right thing. I'm living the right way. I'm living the right type of life. And therefore, Everyone else, good luck everyone else, as they say. That's not the way of the Jewish life. The way of a Jew is that he needs to guarantee that the sanctity and the holiness go to his children and to the future generations. And therefore, one of the most poignant prayers that one says, "Layomush mipicho, umipizaracho, umipizerazaracho." It should not leave, the Torah should not leave, neither your mouth, those of your children, those of your children's children. All your offspring should always be serving and doing the way of Hashem. And then the third commandment, as Shabbos says, "Haytishmeru." You should keep the Shabbos. This completes the cycle of what the Torah is leaving us, what lessons. The commandment answers on the question, how does one take the strength, the great dedication, the sanctification, personal, giving over holiness to his future generations? And the answer is Shabbos. Shabbos. That's the key to the perseverance of the Jewish nation. From Shabbos, the Jew nurtures, the Jew takes out the strength and thereby separates him from the entire nation, from all the other nations. There's no work on Shabbos, no phone, no computer, no anything. One is totally dedicated and devoted to Hashem. And what do we see that recognizes more than anything else? Ozei v'avaya es ha'aretz. Cheskel says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu technically leaves the world and leaves it in the hands of those that will go in the natural way. Whereas Shabbos, brings about a certain belief into each and every Jew's heart in a way that they get totally devoted to the Creator. Shabbos is Eis Habris, a pact between us and Hashem. And this is reminded, we are reminded this constantly. Also the nature rules through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the Keach of Shabbos rests the Kedusha, rests the holiness and the sanctity, to see to it that the rest of our days of the week are done correctly. And when our children and our grandchildren see how much we love our Shabbos, how much we are dedicated to our Shabbos, they too grow this affection and love and connection to Shabbos Kodesh. This is therefore the connection between the three. In order to be holy, we need to see to it that the generations remain holy after us. And the most befitting solution to that is Shabbos Kodesh. And as I've told the story millions of times, my grandfather, Olav Shalom, who used to look for a new job every Sunday. He came here to America, the Golden Medina. He came after World War I. He came between the two wars. And there was still no great love, even though it wasn't Europe and it wasn't Nazi Germany. There was no great love to the Jews. And the guy who owned the factory wanted production 7 days a week. If he didn't have his production 7 days a week, he was not going to make enough money. So one of those 7 days in everybody's calendar was Shabbos. My grandfather, Shalom, said, there's nothing to talk about. I will not work on Shabbos, Chas V'Shalom. And every Friday when he said he's not coming back the next day, he was given the pink slip. They paid him for his few days, and they told him, don't come back tomorrow. Don't come back Sunday. So every Sunday, Rabbi had to look for a new job. Because he kept the Shabbos holy. And I still remember sitting at his Shabbos table. The Shabbos table of my other grandparents. Unlike people from my generation, a good portion of us didn't meet our grandparents. I'm having a choir from the baby, the newborn. Baruch Hashem. Many of us did not have grandparents here. I merited both sets of grandparents were here. Actually, my mother's parents actually got married here. Whereas my father's parents got married back in Europe. My father came here at the age of 14 or 15 years old. So my father's father was a chazan, as was my father, as was the seven generations before them. My father was ninth generation. And my grandfather was a sheikh, as was my father, a ritual slaughterer. And therefore, there was no need. I mean, he worked 7 days a week. He worked on Shabbos because he was a chazan in the shul. But that wasn't considered work, and you weren't allowed to even get paid for that. They got paid as a chazan in the shul, but not for what they davened on Shabbos, because that's not allowed. So therefore, they kept Baruch Hashem Shabbos to the T, with no shortcuts. And they taught that to their parents, to their children, who in turn taught it to us. And this is what the Shabbos and the Kabbalah Savicha, how they are connected directly to Kedoshim Tiyu. The Parsha also warns us, one may not steal from another person. This is such a severe sin that the Rambam Paskins, Kol Agezos Chaveri Shava Pruta, anyone who steals from a friend, even the equal of a penny, it's as if he killed him. This severity is by Gezela, not by Geneva. A ganif goes to a person to their face, and Gezela is when the person doesn't know they were stolen. Even though both these cases, you're taking away from the person, the ganef recognizes the ownership of the person by his properties, and therefore he doesn't have the chutzpah to go and stand up in front of him and steal it from him. He does it with your neighbor. Whereas the Goslin, who does it openly, comes to the person himself and takes him. He doesn't care what you think is yours. More fundamental of a person. And the person is an owner of his properties. This is natal nishmas, man. You're taking the neshama away. I had a clip the other day on the wonderful world of WhatsApp of a fellow sitting in a car. The policeman is standing there. He says, "Young man, get out of the car. It's not your car." He says, "I discovered it. I discovered the car. Columbus came to America and discovered America. I discovered this car." He says, "But it's not your car." The guy's standing there screaming, "Get him out of my car." The owner's standing right there. "I discovered," he's screaming. He's taking it from somebody in front of their face. How do we rectify the sin? Through a mitzvah saseh of the Torah, a positive commandment. The gazlan, the thief, has to return the chafetz that he stole to the master, to the owners. And by giving this back, he gives him back his neshama. Or the person that it was stolen from. And he rectifies the sin. That when he took away the neshama in this way of stealing. What happens though? If the item that was stolen is no longer here, no longer exists, the Rambam says, if the gzela no longer exists and the gazlan wants to do tshuva, comes on his own and returns the money of the gzela, the chachamim established ein mekabel mimeno. We don't accept it. But we help him out and we forgive him so that he should be able to do and go on the proper path of Bali Tshuva. How do we understand this? As long as the person had the opportunity to return the stolen item, he has a mitzvah now to give it back. The gazlan came and said, "I'm stealing this from you." He said, "What are you stealing this from me? It's an aveda of the Torah, you're not allowed to steal." He says, "Yeah, but there's an aveda to return the stolen item, and I can never do that mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, same in a Torah, that I can never do, and I want to do it. The only way I can do it is if I steal it." Mind frame, mentality, call it what you want to call it. And therefore this was established, this tremendous stringency when it came to Gezela, and we refer to it as Nitilas and Neshama. The person you stole, the person Neshama. But when the item is no longer around, you can no longer use that item, you can no longer fix this and see to it that the Maisa Gezela be returned and be adjusted. You can give from your own. The person that caused this, caused the heartache. So the Chachamim said, Takonas Hashavim. They made a Takonas Hashavim in order that make it easier to alleviate the pressures and for a person to be able to do tshuva. And this Takana, this, shall we not call it decree, this dictate, dafke, if the gazlan wants to do tshuva and comes on his own to give back with his own money, therefore he shows remorse and he has charata and he recognizes that the the ownership is not his, but rather the other person. So the etzem of this act was fixed in the mere fact that the person rectified his sin by having remorse. And therefore we see the Chazal tell us to make it easier, the way of tshuva, and they were misaken it in order to not be mekabel from him the dmei agzeir, the money that we stole. From this halacha we learn how much and how important it is that a person has to strengthen themselves to help a fellow Jew do teshuva. If it's possible, the karev aderech hayishara l'ashavim, to bring closer the right path to those that are returning, the Chazal u'mesaken shiyimcha la'odem al-memeinei, one should forgive on his, about his money, so much more so, one should do whatever they possibly can to bring a fellow Jew closer to heaven, to the Father in heaven. The action that one is taking here needs to be done without kavana, without any intentions. No personal gain, no personal agenda, but rather only a spiritual, not a physical. Schar in Eilam Haba, merit in the world to come. So the entire, all the intentions of a person need to be in order lekarev Yehudi al HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring closer a Jew to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even though the involvement with another person causes him a loss, when a person does tshuva, miyad hein negolin, the yidin will do tshuva, they'll immediately be redeemed. And this goes in connection with the 12th Mishnah of Perek Beis that we are about to recite this Shabbos as well. Rabbi Yosi says, "Imomin chaverecho, chov velecho kishaloch." The money of your friend should be dear to you as your own. The Haskin Atzmach L'Meitera, another mission that we have, is one should prepare themselves for the study of Teda. Why? She'en Yerushalach. It doesn't come to you as an inheritance, it falls in your lap. Chol Masecha Yilashem Shemayim, and everything that you do should be for the sake of heaven. So once again, discussing the money of your fellow man should be as dear to you as the money, as your own. Because everything in the world contains sparks of godliness. And they're simply concealed in the material nature of our existence. And therefore a person has been given this task to reveal the matter's innate godliness. And every individual is destined to elevate certain sparks. This divine service is necessary for his personal growth. If these godly energies are not elevated, Rahman al-Islam, then the person's neshama remains incomplete. And the Baal Shem Tov expounded this very concept. And he interprets the pasuk that tells us in Tehillim, it's Perek Kuv Zayin, pasuk Hey. The hungry and the thirsty, Revim Gam Tzmeim, their souls long within. Their soul longs within. And the Baal Shem Tov asks, why are they hungry? Why are they thirsty? Because their soul longs within. Their souls seek a bond with the godly energy contained in the food and the drink. So because of this, on this basis, we can appreciate what it says with regard to the tzaddikim. Their money is more dear to them than their lives, because they desire to fulfill the spiritual purpose associated with these tokens of seeing the material tokens, material wealth. So therefore, their money is worthless to them as far as this is concerned. And these concepts apply to all Yidden, because your nation, Amech Kulam Tzadikim, your nation is full of Tzadikim. I'm finished about 15, 20 minutes. Go. We'll tomorrow. And these concepts apply themselves to all Jews, because Amech Kulam Tzadikim, he said. And therefore, we need to hold the wealth of a fellow Jew dear to us, just as we hold our own wealth dear. We should hold dear the wealth of others, because Torah prohibits damaging Chas V'Shalom a colleague's property, and obligates us to undertake any measures necessary to save it. This is called Milah de Chassidusa, which is what Pirkei Avos is all about. Taking it one step further, regard to another person's property as dearly as your own. And that goes into, apropos with the parsha, as we spoke just now, about Loi Sigzel, or may not steal. And then the pasuk continues. With another very pertinent Aveda Bein Odom Lachaveri Le Samoid Al Damrei Echa, do not stand on your brother's blood. One needs to save a fellow Jew. This commandment comes as a warning, Le Samoid Al Damrei Echa, you better not. What does it mean, standing on blood? Rashi explains, if you see somebody dying and you could save them, for example, if they're drowning or animal or thieves are coming against them. This explanation of Rashi tends to bring about a few questions. First of all, what don't you understand? Don't stand by when another Jew is being killed. Secondly, what are his examples in bringing to light here? Simple. Concept, do not let another person be killed in front of you. Why do I have to have a mashal for it? Why do I have to have an example? And thirdly, Rashi should have written, Kigoin Tevea Banor Echaya Elistim Boyem Elov. And we derive from what he's saying one thing, that a person is drowning, and also a case where it comes about with the animals. Whereas in Teres Kahanim on this pasuk, and if you keep his score on the Gemara Sanhedrin, I give him an olive. Tevea bin Nahor, oi chaya, oi listim. Either. And here Rashi says, someone is drowning and a chaya or the thieves come to them. The Maisa, we're not necessarily, do we need to have this commandment, especially to let us know that we have an obligation to save a fellow Jew. We don't need this as a Torah commandment. We can learn it from a Kal V'Chaimer. What is the Kal V'Chaimer? Madach. you have to save a person's money. As we learn, azev tazev imay, if the donkey is under a tremendous load, and the donkey is going to die from the load and needs to unload it quickly, but he can't do it fast enough, tells us the Torah, azev tazev imay, you have to go with him and help him save his donkey. So the person's dying. Of course I have to save a person dying. Totally superfluous to tell me this. Therefore the Torah comes and enlightens us on a midah where the Torah the person is given an obligation to literally endanger oneself to save and to help a fellow Jew. Obviously, you don't have to go into a battlefield with bullets and missiles flying. But if there's water that you could possibly walk into, because sometimes when a person falls into the water, they get totally disoriented. And therefore, they just start flailing and splashing, where they can just simply swim the way out. But because of the panic and everything else, you would have to go in and save them. By shaking the person is drowning in the middle of an ocean, and there's no way of you jumping in and actually being able to save him, then obviously this is not the case to talk about. You definitely have to throw him a rope if you can, but that's the extent of it. So the question becomes, what does one need to do? How far does one need to go? Therefore, Rashi brings the explanation. First and foremost, he establishes she'ein lecha lishoyel nidus misasei. You may not watch another person, stand by and watch another person die. V'shoh shata yochel atzilei. In the time that you can save him, which means to say, from one hand, there's danger. Even to the rescuer. On the other hand, you know that you could definitely save him. Therefore, Rashi brings the example. Adam shitevea banor. Person drowning. And it comes also, one surrounded by Chaya Elistim, which they exploit the person's weaknesses. From the river itself, person can just walk out. And if he was understanding in his own right and strong enough in his mind, he can overpower the Chayas and the Shedidim. But the two combined comes out the sakana of his own life. In this case, the mixing from what a person's side, one person to another, one can definitely save the life of another, even if there is some danger involved. Therefore, this is an example of a classic example that the commandment Leisamed al dam reacha, do not stand on the blood of your friend. From the words of Rashi, we see Lireis b'misosei b'atayachal atila. You see, he's going to die, and you can save him. This in itself has a much deeper meaning. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there goes the voice. Let's try to finish this shiur, and I hope we can. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts you in a situation, a place, to see misosei, to see this person, Rachmana Litzlan, is flailing, is dying. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Not everybody's around there. You yourself are there by the riverbank, wherever it might be. It's not ironic and it's not coincidental. This is Hashgacha Pratis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you there. To see this dying, drowning person, you see another Jew, Rahmana Litzlan, in danger, spiritually, you must save him. And the keches will be given to you for it. Baruch Hashem, last week, we had yet another person ask for a pair of tefillin of his own. And so far every day, Baruch Hashem, kinayinara, kinyirbu, he checks in with a text every morning to say, tefillin done. And I gave him different things to say, transliterated. But now he's Baruch Hashem putting on tefillin zayin zunt every single day, barring Shabbos and Yom Tov, of course, and Hashem should bless all his endeavors. This is a special lesson to our generation. Many of our brothers and sisters are in a spiritual danger of drowning, Rahmana Litzlan. Each and every Jew who sees a fellow Jew in this situation has the obligation, the command, Leisamer Adam Reacha. You need to remember at the Yochel Atzila, you can save them through your involvement in Afotz Atera Yadus and through being Mekar of them to the Avinu Sheba Shemayim. And this way, you will ultimately speed up the ultimate redemption. Heira v'yameinu, Korev Mamesh. Tezvov. As we spoke before, Tezvov 15. 15 is the first two letters of Yud Kei Vov Kei. And today's Rambam starts with Perek Tezvov. So it's only apropos that we go to Daf Tezvov in Masechta Seita. The Seita brought a Karb Mincha. However, this one of the Seita was different. The rest of the Mincha, though, told us the Mishnah, was given to the Kahanim to eat. Rebbe Chanina says, when can the Kohen take part? When the fire has basically consumed whatever was burnt from the Mincha. And Rebbe, it engulfed it. And Rebbe Chanina says, Mishatishleit Beha'er. Exactly, Rebbe Yechanan says, when the flame literally has totally or majority seen to it that the mincha that was brought to be burnt is totally, almost totally burnt. Oh boy, here goes my computer. The Kohen partook. The Kohen partook of this Karb Mincha when the forgiveness factor the fact that a carbon mincha was brought and had to be burnt, that in itself, the forgiving part, shows us at what stage the person was already forgiven. And therefore, according to the stage, says one Tana, one Amira, that it's good enough, you don't have to see to it that the whole thing is consumed, just the mere fact that it's engulfed in flames. And the other one says, no, the entire sin has to be obliterated. And this is the difference of approaches as well, how one approaches a fellow Jew. If one has to see to it, to take out of them everything that is doing of the wrongdoings, or simply to see to it, to boost them, and to get them to start going, to start the fire under them, so that they too start to become terror observant. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu see all his children, Zara Zaracha, Meyata Meyadelam, all the children, all the future generations, coming back to Shovavon and Ligvulam. He will bring them back to their Gvul, because they will be back within the realm of his Torah and Mitzvahs, as children returning to their father. You will see in these days of Svira, Simcha, Chagim, and we'll be able to sing and dance with Mashiach Tzidkenu, the Shabbos.